Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, welcome in. It is late on this Tuesday, and Ole Miss baseball still going. Went ahead and went live anyway, hoping that they would get the third out in the ninth before we went live. But a single and a walk has two on with one out for Austin Peay. So we'll see how this one ends. But glad that you guys are with me on this, again, on this Tuesday night. It is 9:10 as we record this. And yeah, starting the stream is Austin Peay is getting runners on base. If they lose this game, it is exclusively my fault. I am the jinx. I hit the live button assuming that this one was over, especially after they got that first out. So we'll see how this goes. But something that I've been thinking about all day today, really, is Andy Staples, who I really like, and I think that he is really thoughtful with the content that he puts out there, did a post-spring top 25, and Ole Miss was ranked. Should they be, as the second out is recorded, but should they be? Should Ole Miss be ranked to start the 2025 season? Have they done enough, in your opinion, to start the 2025 season? I want to hear from you. I've also just, there's a couple of things with Ole Miss that have been on my mind when it comes to this particular football team and the new faces on it. So we'll talk about that, read a few of your comments. It's going to be probably a shorter stream tonight just because of the timing. I did not want to go live during a baseball game, especially one in which Ole Miss was losing at the time. So forgive me for being late, but I am glad that you guys are here on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like and subscribe right here on YouTube. If you're watching, listening on YouTube, Super Talk, wherever, don't forget to subscribe. And also, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. This edition of the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. We all know the car buying experience can be a miserable one, especially if you go to a place that will not take care of you. That's what Toyota of Brookhaven will do. They will treat you like a person, an actual person, not just dollar signs. So even if you don't live in Brookhaven, by the way, exit 40 in Brookhaven, even if you don't live there, it is worth checking out their online inventory, toyotaofbrookhaven.com, but it's worth looking into making the trip to go, because they will, not only will they take care of you, also you get $1,000 on me if you just tell them that I sent you, $1,000 off on me, straight up, if you tell them that I sent you on any in-stock new Toyota. Their financing department has some pretty outstanding interest rates right now. The Tundra is especially the new ones. Great looking trucks. Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver even with their service department. And it's one of the highest rated in the state. So again, Toyota of Brookhaven, exit 40 in Brookhaven, bringing you the Rebel Report. So Andy Staples put out his way too early. It's actually a post-spring top 25 in college football, as Ole Miss has a 3-1 count now. You know what you shouldn't do when you're up three runs in the ninth is walk batters, and yet here Ole Miss is walking one already and working a count to a three-ball count. But here is Andy Staples' top 25, and I'll go through some of them quickly, stop if there's anything that stands out to me. Texas at one, totally fine. Notre Dame at two, replacing a quarterback, but still totally fine with Notre Dame being at two. Clemson at three. A lot of people are going to point to Clemson as being a little bit too high. I love this Clemson team for this season. I think they are for sure a bona fide playoff team, and I truly think that they're a title contender. I like Klubnik. They have a bunch of pieces. I love the schedule. I think they're going to beat LSU in week one, and they're going to cruise to an ACC championship and be a title contender. I really like this Clemson team. So that feels high, but I actually agree with Andy there. Penn State four. I know I like to pick on Drew Aller, but that should be the best team in the Big Ten. Ole Miss gets the strikeout. They win 6-3. So ho-hum, easy. No, I say not easy. I say easy, not easy. But they get a midweek win and just move right along building back the momentum that they lost after the Little Rock and South Carolina series. I mean, they were down and came back and won yet again. That's what this team does. Mentally tough team. So that is not a good win at all because it's Austin Peay, but important that they did not allow the early hole that they got themselves into to define their night. And so they avoided an RPI disaster, still working towards becoming a host. Anyway, Penn State 4, he has Ohio State at 5, super talented. Oregon at 6, super talented. Alabama at 7, I think we're letting the helmet get in the way there. Georgia at 8, Illinois at 9, that'll be an offseason darling for sure. You guys know Luke Altmaier's coming back. I think that Illinois is deserving of some offseason love and hype, and I think they're going to lose 3 or 4 games this season. Florida at 10, I don't get it, we'll see. Texas Tech, the darling of the portal, at 11. They've really enhanced their roster in the portal process for sure. South Carolina at 12, I think it's a little high. Auburn at 13. Now, Auburn, they're talented. I just would like to see Hugh Freeze win, have a consistent season at Auburn before I start calling them a preseason top 15 team. I want them to win something, you know, have a good year before I start calling them a top 15 team. But anyway, you're going to get a lot of that this offseason. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it until I see it. I am very out on the, not narrative, that's not the right word, but there are a lot of Ole Miss people that are like, look out for you at Auburn. Just look at these recruiting classes, and everybody in the SEC recruits well. Everybody gets great players. When are you going to coach them up? When are they going to overachieve rather than underachieve? Because he's done a hell of a lot of underachieving, and that's it so far. So until that changes, I think that this is too high. But again, anyway, SMU at 14, LSU at 15, Arizona State 16, Michigan at 17, BYU 18, and Ole Miss at 19. Rounding out the top 25 real quick, Miami, Tennessee, Nebraska, Iowa State, Louisville, and Iowa. It's a bit of a crapshoot when you get that low, especially in the portal era and things like that. But Ole Miss, number 19, according to Andy Staples in the post-spring top 25. My question to you is, do you think that they deserve that kind of offseason ranking? And I think Ole Miss is going to be ranked in a lot of polls, probably, I mean, maybe all of them to start the season. And part of that is due to the benefit of the doubt when it comes to Lane Kiffin. When you win 39 games in 4 years, you've earned the benefit of the doubt despite the roster turnover. They have signed yet another really strong portal class. They have a quarterback that they really believe in. The wide receiver room looks elite, and so on and so forth. So do you think that they deserve that? My answer is yes. I'm totally fine with them being ranked in the preseason. I think anything, you know, in the top 15 is would be kind of pushing it considering what they lost. But again, Lane Kiffin has earned the benefit of the doubt. And slowly but surely, Ole Miss is becoming a program that people like Andy Staples. And that's one of the keys here is that, think about it, Ole Miss lost a first-round pick at quarterback. Ole Miss lost a second-round pick at wide receiver and a fourth-round pick at wide receiver. They lose, I mean, a first-round pick at defensive tackle. Look at the volume of players that they lost, and yet they're just getting slapped in a top 25 anyway. That is, you know, apples to oranges, but they're both round things that you eat. That's not dissimilar to the ranking that Alabama's got and why they've got it there. They just kind of, the helmet earns them a preseason ranking. Well, Ole Miss has gotten to that point under Lane Kiffin, at least I think so anyway, where regardless of the losses, they're going to get slapped into top 25s anyway, that they have earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to having a team that should be ranked to start a season. Yes, they missed the playoffs last year. We talk about that basically every single one of these streams, but their disappointing season is one in which they won 10 games. They have been remarkably consistent over the last 4 years, and people, at least the smart college football people anyway, are starting to pay attention to that. The two things that I've been thinking about a lot over the last couple of days is, one, it's Kiffin himself, but more specifically the offense. They, as you guys know, underperformed offensively last year, for sure. One second half touchdown in their three losses. Could not run the football. John Gruden in his one-on-one with Jackson Dart, which was outstanding, by the way. You guys should watch it. Questioned the offense and some of their process. And talk about validation, by the way. I am certainly not an X's and O's guy. Like, I think that I understand football pretty well. I mean, I played in high school, which literally, I mean, that just does nothing. But, I could tell you what certain defenses are and coverages and routes and things like that. Like, I think I have a pretty good understanding of the game itself. But if you would get me on a whiteboard with an actual coach, he might as well be speaking Spanish to me, right? That's how it goes for any of us that haven't been in that position. But we talked all season long about how things just didn't feel right. Why are they not using a quick passing game? Well, that should help alleviate some of the issues on the offensive line. Why is Jackson not utilizing checkdowns? Why are they not using tight ends? And to hear a Super Bowl winning coach question the offense in the same way that we did all season was kind of validation, right? As to, okay, we can't tell you X's and O's wise what is going on, but we can tell you that something is not right. Like, this doesn't feel or look right. Hearing Gruden say the same thing is validation that something was off. What if Jackson leaving and having to break in a new quarterback who's different than Jackson, doesn't mean better or worse, they're different players, although Simmons is supremely talented, that what if a change at quarterback allows them to kind of self-scout and change the way they approach things offensively? They didn't make any staff changes. Nothing materially is different at the moment, but it doesn't mean behind the scenes they're not working on retooling the offense to shape a different skill set. If you're an optimist, that this could be a real opportunity for them to kind of look in the mirror and realize that, you know, Pete Golding can't save them forever, right? At some point, the offense is going to have to win them a game here if they're going to make the playoff. And if anybody can fix the criticisms that Gruden in particular, right, was levying on the offense, it is Lane Kiffin. You should have supreme confidence in that. He has earned the reputation that he has for a reason, but I've been thinking about that a lot. Is clearly something was amiss with the offense. What if a change at quarterback allows them to kind of reset, self-scout, and change the way they approach things? Because if they just run it back the exact same from a year ago, if they run it back the exact same, then I'd be deeply concerned if it looks the exact same. We'll see. Anyway. And then the other thing that I think about a lot is how different their approach on the defensive front is than what you would expect. I mean, they flipped the wide receiver room and it's basically all transfers, right? Except for Caden Lee. And maybe, you know, Winston Watkins plays, and apparently there's a chance that he does and plays a lot. But I mean, you look at the receiver room, it's Lee and DeJon Stribling and Trey Wallace and those, you know, Deuce Alexander, maybe he plays a good bit as a backup, but I mean, they're relying on portal guys there. Tight end, it's two portal guys. I know one's returning, but still on the offensive line, they've added guys via portal there. At the running back room, it's portal guys. It's in the defensive secondary, it's portal guys. But the position group in which they lost the most when it comes to an impact perspective, they lose Ivy, Pegues, Nolan, and Princely. And for good measure, they lose Akello Stone, who helped them some last year. Those guys are largely being replaced by guys that they recruited out of high school. Centarian Perkins returns, although maybe he's going to play more of an actual linebacker this year. But it's Jam Brown, Xavier Harris, Cam Franklin, Eccles, Beavers, Maddox. Those guys are all guys that they recruited out of high school. And of course, as you guys know, they added a couple of portal edge rushers, but the defensive line, especially when you factor in Perkins, is homegrown guys. And in the portal era where Ole Miss has been so good at the portal, where they just had 8 draft picks, all of which transferred to Ole Miss, the defensive line is going to be dominated by guys that they recruited out of high school. And that's really fascinating. The portal didn't have all that much defensive line talent in it to begin with. So it's got to feel really good to not have desperate needs in that spot when all those names that I read to you are 4 or 5 stars as prospects. So that is a really interesting kind of wild card situation here with this defense. And wild card is not the right word. Not the right phrase. It's late. I'm usually asleep by now. But that is something to monitor, to keep an eye on, is did that recruiting effort on the defensive line pay off, or should they have dipped into the portal to try to replace defensive tackles? We're just going to have to see. So here's a little football for you. Why not? We'll read a few of your comments, then I'll let you out of here. But first, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need or what your budget is, and your Mississippi business will be taken care of when it comes to an assessment on me, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's great. It is all you need is an internet connection. You do whatever it is you need to do with your money, and the interface is really good and simple and easy. And they have 16 locations here, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. You'd say from what they lost in gain that they should be ranked maybe top 20, maybe 20. Yeah, and look, sure enough, Andy Staples had them at 19. Getting past Austin Peay tonight likely kept them from having to win 18 league games instead of 17. I agree with that. That loss would have been bad. That would have been bad. I mean, so that would have been your third bad midweek loss. You're just asking to be left out of hosting at that point. But they took care of business, and all is well that ends well. Yes, football should be ranked somewhere between 20 and 25, similar to 2023. A lot of talent and things to like, but some big questions as well. Should be ranked around 20 since you aren't going to get rid of preseason rankings? No. I like preseason rankings. I think they're fun. I mean, they're kind of worthless. Not kind of. They are worthless, but they're fun. What harm do they do? Especially if it's your team that's getting ranked in preseason rankings. That's a good thing. Guess all those Texas oil men decided to contribute to Texas Tech sports. Part of that, yeah, absolutely. The team has variance. I think they could win anywhere between 7 to 10 games. 8.5 is right in the middle. Feels like a good number. That'll be probably the consensus offseason number, too, was over under 8.5 wins. Perspective is everything, right? I think if they get to 9-3, that would be a success, like a truly successful season. If they are in the discussion for a playoff spot and come up just short, but if they're in that discussion with Simmons as a first-year starter losing everything that they lost, that's a good season. Less than 9 wins, you know, 8-4 would feel a little disappointing. Anything less than that would be a step back. If they make the playoff, then wow. That's, I think, a slight overachievement. If they get to the playoff and win multiple games, then it's a massive overachievement. So there's your tiers right there. We'll know early with the Kentucky and Arkansas games. The program needs more schedules with early tests. I like this schedule so much better. So much better than the last one. Is yours, Mason Nichols, the tallest person on the team? He looks gigantic. Judd Unimar. Hooks, I think, is the most impressive, like physically impressive player, more so than Unimar. I don't know. Hooks just looks like a D2 defensive tackle, you know? Don't want to see that another schedule with 4 cupcakes to start again. Me either. You say they do check downs. You ever hear Lane's whistle? He's changing the play. That's not what a check down is. I'm talking about nothing's open vertically. Dump it off to your running back. That's a check down. I mean, there's a famous screenshot in the interception that Jackson threw in Baton Rouge where Caden Priestcorn, his check down is, or you think is his check down anyway, is standing uncovered right at a first down. Stuff like that. If the offense continues their trajectory from last year, oh boy, we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations, no doubt. You said Caleb Cunningham and Caleb Downs. Cunningham not being there in the spring, I think, is, and it's a crowded room now, too. I am curious, you know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that room and not enough food to go around. I mean, some guys are going to have to accept a lesser role. And so I wonder if Cunningham in particular is going to have a lesser role in year one just because the room's crowded and talented. Did a good job of making the offense more dynamic in 23 after the end of 22 disappointed. Maybe they can do the same thing again. Yeah. If Ole Miss is somewhere in the middle of the SEC in defense, how many games do you think they win? If they're in the middle, eight. But here's the thing, man. I think that they might be still an upper tier defense. I know that sounds crazy, but in Pete Golding, you should trust, in my opinion. Yeah. Some guy on Twitter called me a left wing wacko today. I don't know. What a perfect encapsulation of everyone I disagree, like anybody that disagrees with me online is of the opposite political party, even if you're talking about sports. I don't know, man. Parham and Katz did a good job addressing it today. The offensive line is the Achilles heel of the program. Only one player drafted under Kiffin, Nick Broeker, in the seventh round, so barely. Yeah, and I think what you're seeing, too, is a change in approach with recruiting the offensive line. It's clear that the portal strategy works, that it's beneficial to Ole Miss, and they have figured out how to make it work and that it works. The offensive line appears to be a position that you can't just go into the portal and win with. I don't know why. I'm not smart enough to know why. I think it's pretty clear that the offensive line cannot just be portaled out of. The interception at LSU gets the award for worst play of 2024, just puzzling. Worse than the Florida triple coverage interception? Where's Ole Miss ranked in the portal? Here, I'll tell you. Transfer portal class rankings. Let's see. Three, according to 24/7. And On3 has them at two. So there you go. On3 has them with 30 transfers in. And 24/7 has them with 28. So that's good. Been a while, but you're going to stick with 11-1. Hey, Corey, until you're wrong, you're not wrong. I think the front will be good. The secondary is the big concern. Yeah, the guys that they added need to be immediate impact players. I'm concerned about the defensive secondary as well, but they have done well in the spring portal adding. I think they'll be good on defense again. Got to be enough to hold down the bottom half of the league teams they play, especially Kentucky and Arkansas. Well, they held down Kentucky last year. That's an old wound. Sorry about that. Yeah, because if he dumps it off to Priestcorn, oh, the worst play of the year, they probably win the game going up double digits. Even a field goal pushes the lead out. Don't think they'll beat Florida even if they tie it. You know, it's, here's your take of the day. If they beat LSU, I think they would have turned around and beat Florida too. And I know that there are games in between, but yeah. Love the ULM safety. Yeah, product of Delta State. How about that? How about that? I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, it is late. I'm going to go to bed, and I hope I'm not waking somebody up over there because I am being loud at the moment. But let's see. Let's see. Let me see that camera. No, he's still snoozing. All right, cool. Anyway, I'm going to go to bed myself. I appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Thursday night. And looking forward to talking to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.